Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for about 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor, or you could sit cross-legged in a chair if you prefer. But sit some way that enables you to feel upright, or you're less likely to slump. And before we sit, I want to continue our conversation about the fourth noble truth on the Buddhist path. The first three being life is unsatisfying. The cause of the dissatisfaction is grasping, and it's possible to stop. It's the third noble truth. And the fourth noble truth is like, here's how you stop. We have already discussed the first three steps. You're welcome to go back and listen to them if you would like, but you don't have to. And the first one was right view, seeing things clearly. Without seeing things clearly, it's very difficult to understand how to stop suffering and how to help others to stop suffering. The second step is called right intention, which arises from right view. When you see things clearly, you naturally want to do something to be of benefit, whatever that something may be. And the third, which we discussed last time, is right speech, using the way you communicate that arises from right intention, that arises from right view, to be of benefit in this world. And we all need to figure out some way to be of benefit in this world. And a great place to start is with the way we communicate. So much sorrow comes from poor communication. That's an understatement. But now we move on to the fourth on the Noble Eightfold Path, which is called right action. Yeah, you're looking at things clearly. You're doing your best in any case. You have a good intention, I'm quite sure. You are cultivating the capacity to use your speech for good. And beyond speech, to look at your actions, what you do in the world, obviously has tremendous impact on your suffering and the suffering of others. So just as right speech started with wrong speech, don't do these things, don't know, what were they? No abusive speech, no lying, no divisive speech, and no idle speech. And then we talked about, well, what is right speech? We're going to start with right action by looking at wrong action. And these are not going to be, they're not going to be any big surprises here. Don't do these five things. And that is a really good place to start. And if you could just not do one of them, even on one day, I think you're going to find that beneficial. Don't kill anyone. Don't kill anything as best you can. You know, these are all very complicated, by the way. Of course, you're not a killer and you don't want to kill anyone or anything, but every step we take on the earth is likely to destroy a life. It's a little bug. So it's not quite as simple as don't be a murderer. It's be aware of your impact on the life around you. And do everything in your power to not take that life. Don't kill. Don't lie. That's also part of right speech. And that's a complicated one. Again, I'm sure you're not a liar. You don't, maybe don't intend to lie, but often we fudge or we, you know, think what we're saying is right, but we're not quite sure. But do your best not to do that. Don't steal. Don't take what is not yours. Don't take what is not given, which is also not that straightforward. Of course, you're not going to go be a robber, I presume, although there's been occasions in my life, and I would imagine yours too, where you're like, I don't think anyone's going to notice that this is missing. So even these very small things count. So you don't want to get like overly intense about monitoring yourself, but pay attention to the things that you consume or take into your life or select from the environment and make sure there's a sense that they have been offered. I remember a long time ago, my stepson, who's now a grown man, had this phrase, best phrase, I don't know where he got it from, called ninja borrow. Ninja borrow, according to him, meant when you take something but put it back before anyone notices that it's gone, you have ninja borrowed it. And that may be a subcategory of no stealing, no ninja borrowing, although it's kind of worth it just to be able to say ninja borrow. No inappropriate sexual behavior. Notice it's not saying no sex. It's saying no inappropriate sexual behavior, no sexual power trips, no, I don't think I need to explain what that means because we see evidence of the suffering that it causes in our world almost everywhere we look. So we can simply say no inappropriate sexual conduct. And you have to think about what that means. And I suggest you think about it very carefully. And then finally, the traditional way of saying it is abstain from alcohol or poisonous substances. And sure, that's not ever going to be bad advice. But I would say don't abuse alcohol or drugs or addictive substances. Addiction, again, I don't have to explain why that is an extraordinary cause of suffering. So do your best. I mean, we all have things we're addicted to. Maybe you smoke one cigarette a day. I've gone through periods in my life where I've done that. Maybe you smoke a lot more. Maybe you're addicted to television. Maybe you're addicted to, I don't know what. Whatever you choose, try to mitigate that. Try to at least calm that down as best you can. So wrong action, don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't act inappropriately sexually, and try not to be addicted to things. You're already like way ahead of the game if you do those things. So pivoting to a little more positive view, meaning not what isn't right action, but what is right action, is interestingly complex as well. And I would say has everything to do with paying attention and being awake and noticing the choices that are before you for how to act, and making the best choice you can in every moment. So this is a very deep ask, because in order to make appropriate choices in every moment, there's some need to heal old wounds, to stop projecting onto the environment and other people from your past experiences of what happens in that environment or with other people. That's a very tall order. And often, at least speaking for myself, it begins with just getting sick of myself. Like, you know what, Susie Piver, you've tried to do it that way a lot of times, whatever that way might be. And the amount of times that that has worked out for you is zero. So right action here begins with, okay, let's take a beat, y'all. If that didn't work out every other time I tried it, maybe it's not the right action, even though perhaps everything in me is saying, do that again. Let me reconsider. So some sense of frustration, revulsion even, as it's called in traditional texts, with the results of your current behavior, and I'm sure you're doing the best you can. Nonetheless, at some point you just get sick of yourself. Hopefully not for too long, but it's not sick of yourself. It's sick of doing that thing again. I'm doing that thing again. I don't know what other thing I could do, but this reflexive response to the circumstances of my life is not getting me anywhere. It is not the right action. I do not know what the right action is. That itself is the right action in that moment. I don't know what to do. Great. Let's pause. Let's wait. Let's observe. Let's learn. Let's get help. Whatever it is we need to do to choose a better action. And we can start always with don't kill, don't steal, and so on. I find that for myself, the likelihood of my actions being right, which doesn't mean good, by the way, it means complete, is vastly increased when I think of how my actions will impact others. Starting with people I love or people, then moving on to people I don't know and so on. But when I take, it's not because I'm trying to be good or I want people to like me, although I really do. It's, I step back and take a broader view and think, what is this going to mean? Not just for me, but in my world, in my vibe, in my, the seeds that I'm planting. What seeds am I planting? So here, right action has a lot to do with traditional notions of karma, which means what you do will have an effect. So you want to do something now that may have a good effect in the future, although, spoiler alert, that good effect may come in a future lifetime or in a way that you can't see at the very least. So it's not as simple as think the right thoughts, law of attraction, EBS, or silliness, let's say, because it's good to think good thoughts. We want to plant a seed with the words that we speak, the decisions that we take, and the actions that we make. Whether we find out how those seeds blossom or not, we want to plant a good seed. And I guess to close this short talk, I'll share an experience I had long ago. Long ago, 20 years ago, maybe, when I was just starting out in my life as a self-employed human, which is a very scary thing to do. And I had a certain business where I made books combined with an audio component. This was a long time ago. And when I was just starting my business, I had no money, no nothing. This project dropped in my lap that I could have done with someone who was very famous in the wellness world. And it would have been successful, I think, because he had a really big audience. But there was only one problem here. I hated him. I didn't like him. Maybe wasn't that I hated him. It's that I thought the work that he was doing in the world wasn't actually beneficial to other humans. So that's a big deal. But it's also a big deal to not have food to eat or to be scared about not having money. Those are real things. And I had those things for quite a while. So I remember I was talking to my meditation teacher because he knew a lot about publishing and he knew a lot about the wellness world and he knew a lot about me and meditation. I'm like, what do you think I should do? And he said, well, think about your intention. We're going back to intention here. If your intention is good, and he did not define what that meant, and I can't define it, but you have to think about it. If your intention is good, good karmic seeds will be planted. And then, and this is the weird kicker here, it will not matter if the results manifest in the heaven realm or the hell realm, which is a Buddhist way of saying a way that's good for you or a way that feels not so good for you. So that was very interesting. If you plant the seed, something will ripen. And that ripening may feel glorious and life-affirming and joyful, or it may feel painful, gritty, challenging. In both cases, since it's rooted in right intention, the result will purify something karmic for you and others. Don't take my word for that or anything. Think about it. But let me just say that again very briefly. If your intention is right, whatever that means to you, then it doesn't matter if the result manifests in the heaven realm or the hell realm. Something will have been set in motion that is of benefit. So, a lot of nuance, interesting complexity. There's no simple way to look at even these simple things like right action. And that's what makes it so exciting, I think, and so real and so human. So let's do something may not be so exciting, but it's very real and it's very human. And it's called the practice of meditation. So let's sit together. Begin, please, by forgetting about whatever it is I just said and whatever it is you thought about what I said. And just feel yourself seated on your cushion or chair or sofa, wherever you are. And let yourself become heavy from the waist down. Feel very rooted, solid, right here. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Sit up straight. Let the front body soften. Relax your belly. Relax the area around your heart. See if you can find a sense of oxygen, of ventilation in the heart area. Relax your shoulders. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique, just ordinary breathing, which you are quite genius at. The eyes are open, and the gaze is very soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front. See if you can direct your gaze into the middle distance, if that makes sense. Relax the brow. And let the crown of the head reach up a little bit while the sit bones continue to reach down. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathing, not observe the body breathing. Feel. Feel the body move on the inhale and let go on the exhale. And let your attention ride this rhythm of breathing. You rest your mind on this gentle rhythm and let it be carried on the inhale and released on the exhale. Let your mind be as it is. Thoughts come and go, period. There is no thought that comes and does not go. So you can have a sense of just allowing them to pass through. No need to intercede or modulate at all. Let your thoughts recede into the background and your breath come into the foreground. So thoughts become like ambient noise somewhere over there And if you notice that you have become absorbed in a line of thought to the point where you have lost awareness of your breath completely, very good. You just woke up. That's awesome. Notice that. You can label that moment silently thinking. Let go. Don't skip that step. The letting go has a little bit of delight in it. Gently come back to this breath and begin again. Feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It really means a lot. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together with all the other people who are practicing meditation in the world right now. And may our practice benefit all beings.